Every Thursday at this time, we've decided to focus in on a top story in state or national politics, one that could affect the 2014 election and our ballot box decisions. We call this segment On the Campaign Trail, and we will be talking about the issues and the candidates and the contests before voters and welcome your questions and opinions for our various guests. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Thursday, June 19th. Today, we will get two takes on the New Republic's story this week called The Unelectable Whiteness of Scott Walker. The article is posted on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. It's been the subject of some intense discussion and debate all week. Did racial politics, including conservative talk radio in Milwaukee, help Governor Walker win the 2012 recall? Governor Walker was asked about the article this week, and he says that the article was full of untruths, and his record as Milwaukee County executive speaks for itself.
I won as a Republican in 2002, I won again in 2004, I won again in 2008 with nearly 60% of the vote in a county that went two-thirds for President Obama. I think the record's pretty clear. If that was the case, I wouldn't have won in those elections.
So what do you think? What questions do you have? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk at WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Let me welcome our first guest, Eugene Kane, columnist and blogger from Milwaukee. His writings appear on Sundays in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
Good to have you back. Let's. What was your takeaway from the New Republic article?
I think it sort of gave conservative right-wing radio in Milwaukee too much credit for influencing the election, because as someone who's written public opinion in this town for like close to 20 years, I have the sense that a lot of people who voted for Walker and who vote for a Republican are pretty much have been pretty much predisposed to do that the entire time. They don't need that much urging to do it, particularly when certain issues come up. I do think talk radio does a good job of galvanizing or maybe even inflaming that base on a lot of particular stories. So in that sense, I think right-wing radio did play a part, but it didn't play as much of a part as they seem to suggest in the article, simply because I'm not sure if most people realize that a lot of people across the state, you probably realize, but a lot of people across the state don't really get to hear Milwaukee talk radio that much. So
yeah,
well, I would quibble with that.
You tweeted in response to this article, right-wing radio hosts in Wisconsin stir up racial issues to aid elections? Get out.
I think, first of all, it's anybody who listens to right-wing radio knows that there's a racial component. I mean, you get into trouble if you start trying to call them racist or anything. But I think certainly as someone who has been the focus of talk radio segments over the time I've been writing my column in Milwaukee, they have no problem calling me and other black people racist. But the minute you suggest they're racist, they all go, you know, ape wild. So I won't say that, but I will say that they have a racial component. I think their racial component is to bring up issues involving race in order to get their mainly white listenership agitated or aroused about some issue that they paint in terms of either criticizing the black community as a whole or criticizing certain black leaders or black government officials, singling them out for particular criticism that just can't help but be taken as in a racial context, because everybody talks about dog whistles being the popular term now for saying stuff that you don't come out and say it, but you suggest it. I think the Milwaukee right-wing talk show hosts are dog whistlers extraordinaire, if I can come up with a catchy phrase for them.
Yeah, you also tweeted that, and you tweeted a link to a Washington Post story, which I also put on our Facebook page, that this Walker article is actually more about a polarized America than Scott Walker himself. Do you think that's the case?
Yeah, I do. I appreciate you keeping up with my tweets, too.
We're following you intensely, yes.
Well, yeah, and I think that's kind of piggybacking on a recent Journal Sentinel series on just the polarization of the electorate in Wisconsin, which is probably more extreme than in a lot of areas. But clearly, I mean, when you're talking right-wing talk radio, they don't. That's definitely it's as segregated a place on the airwaves as any other. Even though I do think some of those white talk show hosts do have some black listeners, but if you're in Milwaukee and if you're a black listener who tries to get on talk radio to argue with one of those co-hosts, I've heard time and time again, it's pretty much impossible unless they decide it's one of those days where they want to have a black person on and sort of make fun of them, or if you're a black person who will call up and support them wholeheartedly, and on top of that, even bash other black people, then they love to have you on. But, yeah, I think a lot of this is really it's a result of just how polarized people are in this community politically, and even more so racially. When you say racially, talk show hosts, right-wing talk show hosts, by and large, don't have much of a black constituency at all. But yet the times that they get into racial issues, it becomes very obvious that it's a bunch of white guys basically talking about black people in any way they want to talk about it, which is why, as an African-American journalist, I always see it as very shallow, very not very substantial, usually because they don't have much insight or information about the black community, but that doesn't stop them from talking about it all the time.
Yeah. Give us your sense, Eugene, on the political demographics in southeastern Wisconsin. How did Milwaukee, the city, become so dominantly blue while the outlying areas are so red?
Well, it's a hard thing to just sum up in a couple words, but I will say part of it is white flight to the suburbs, leaving the city much darker and filled with probably more liberal white people who didn't feel like they had to flee. And there's just a sense that, you know, in this state, once you get outside of Milwaukee, there are vast area stretches where there aren't that many minorities at all. So there's allows a groupthink to kind of emerge where people think they can, you know, sort of target or identify the black community as either, you know, too criminal or not educated or too poor, and it becomes easier to do that because we're so separated. I think one thing I do think about what I heard Walker talk about in terms of the way he's been reelected in Milwaukee County as when he was county executive, he seems to be suggesting that he got a lot of black folks, which I don't really think was the case. He did run a couple times in Milwaukee County and won, and that's a largely Democratic area where some parts of it did vote for Obama. But my sense is that he didn't really get a large black vote, because in most of the county executive races I remember over the last 15 years, Walker always ran against either a Democrat or even in one case a African-American candidate who got most of the black votes. So I don't think when Walker points out that, well, I got elected in Milwaukee, that means I'm not one of those people who is, you know, part of this political disenfranchisement. I think he's wrong about that.
Yeah. Well, our next guest is going to say that that this New Republic story was just a smear. Smearing Scott Walker is the name of the piece he wrote. What is your sense? Do you think this was a pretty fair piece on the governor and Southeast Wisconsin, or do you think this was a smear piece, as some critics have said?
I think it was a dicey take on part of the writer, and even the headline itself with the unbearable whiteness of Scott Walker. That seems sensational, designed to grab a lot of hits or a lot of, you know, eyeballs and get people talking about it. The substance wasn't that disturbing to me. I agree with his basic premise on a lot of the things, that one thing Walker does is use these right-wing hosts to sort of, you know, amplify a lot of the racial discord that comes particularly from conservatives in town who want to blame all the problems of the city on the African-American community. I think he kind of captures that well, but I don't think it's actually a great piece. It reads really like a liberal writer from D.C. came to Milwaukee to sort of, you know, examine Scott Walker, but it seems clearly he did have his mind made up beforehand, so I can't dismiss it. But at the same time, I think the New Republic, which I guess it sounds like it would be a conservative magazine, but it's a liberal magazine, it basically, you know, doesn't have a great reputation of, you know, this kind of hard-hitting reporting over the years. So I think Walker is probably glad that they were they've been able to find some mistakes already in the article, and most people who read it who are sympathetic to Walker probably will see it as nothing but a hit piece. And another sign that, you know, Walker probably should get ready to experience more of this as it gets closer to his reelection and any attempt he has to go national in 2016.
We're talking with Eugene Kane, columnist and blogger from Milwaukee. His writings appear on Sundays in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and we are getting reaction from him about the New Republic's story this week that a lot of people are talking about, the unelectable whiteness of Scott Walker, which, among other things, credits racial politics, including conservative talk radio in Milwaukee, for Governor Walker's 2012 recall election win. We welcome your thoughts, your questions, your reactions to this piece. Do you think that this was right on the money or a hit piece? Do you think that Governor Walker has benefited from racial politics in southeast Wisconsin, or does race have nothing to do with it? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. We are on the campaign trail today examining the New Republic's new piece on Governor Walker. The story, the unelectable whiteness of Scott Walker, talking about racial politics and more, and welcoming your thoughts and questions for our guests. We are talking with Eugene Kane, a Milwaukee columnist, during this half hour, and we will talk with another guest who is not happy with this piece, calling it a smear piece, coming up after 7:30. Well, we have lots of callers, so let's go to Kyle in Waukesha first. Hello, Kyle.
Hello. I just wanted to say that I agree with the caller, or I mean not with the your guest. I'm a fourth-generation military veteran, and I've been stationed all over the country and seen other countries. And I've never seen a place more separated and or segregated than Milwaukee. And I owned a business here for a while. And when I would sell, I sold jackets. And once in a while, I would have to get a jacket in. I didn't have it in stock. And I would have a person come pick it up where I received it in Oak Creek. And I had a young lady come pick up a jacket one time. And people that ran the place that I would receive my materials told me I shouldn't let people like that come to that part of town. And I just, it was things that I thought had been resolved decades ago that I still see here. I can't say for sure whether the governor is like that, but the point is that if the environment exists here in that fashion and someone rises from that environment to power, it is logical to presume that that's a possibility. So just to say that it's a strange thing that Wisconsin sent so many people in the Civil War and has such a great record, to see that kind of behavior was very difficult for me to understand.
Eugene?
Well, I think, you know, as African American, I'm sort of at the point where I don't really spend a lot of time trying to convince people, particularly white people, that there is a high amount of racism in the Milwaukee metropolitan community. As a columnist, I took the brunt of it in emails and letters before there were emails and phone calls. So I know there's just a lot of people out there. This is what I do blame the radio talk show hosts, the white who are basically white guys. I think they realize that they are catering to a very racist segment of their listenership. And I've always been disturbed why they don't really, because they both seem like intelligent guys. Why don't they ever acknowledge it or even try to do something to sort of correct the blatant racism from some of their callers and listeners? But I think they realize that that keeps them popular. So I do fault them for that. There's no question that there's a lot of racist listeners of these talk radio programs who these guys cater to. I can't say it any more frankly than that.
Chris in Milwaukee is with us. Hello, Chris.
Hi, thanks. I think that previous caller kind of hit the nail on the head. And, I mean, as conservatives and Democrats and blacks and whites alike, I think through the whole race-baiting culture that's been going on, especially since Obama's been in office, I really believe people are just getting sick and fed up with it. And, I mean, we've had racism for thousands of years. I mean, it's been going on for a long time. And for especially the Democrats to play, the race card against conservatives everywhere they turn around, you know, from everything from voter ID and, you know, just whatever that they can do, from, you know, all the way to getting Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson on TV, you know, to talk about a certain issue. It's just getting really old. You know, and then to pit all conservatives in that type of thing, which is exactly what they're trying to do. And if they could get away with it, they would do it. You know, it's just making me sick to my stomach. And I hope people are starting to wisen up to it that, you know, it's all a big political game, really. And for us to make a culture war of it, you know, it's really just it's disturbing, you know.
Yeah. So I think Chris was saying that, you know, Democrats were doing the race baiting, Eugene.
Well, I'm sure. Well, again, Joe, one thing I've always held is that over the last few years, the only people that some folks feel comfortable calling racist are black folks like Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson and me, because I guess that's the only real racism that exists anymore. I'm being very cynical with that, but it is what I get when, again, when we're talking about something about right-wing talk radio, and now the assumption is that somehow there's a counterpart to that, white, black radio perhaps, that is just as racist. I just don't see it.
Well, our next guest will also say that this piece is just yet another example that Democrats view Governor Walker as a serious threat in 2016. Do you think Democrats think Governor Walker is a serious threat to perhaps even win the presidency?
It would be hard for me to think anybody thinks Walker is a real serious threat for the presidency. I think he's a serious threat to continue in Wisconsin unless folks vote him out. But I think the New Republic clearly was looking at a sensational article to do and tie it to 2016. And Walker has been, you know, one of those sort of below-the-radar screen type candidates who I think there's a lot of interest in him nationwide because a lot of people don't know that much about him. What I liked about the New Republic piece is that I think it does give you a lot of background on who Walker is and how he came to be who he is. And if you're outside Wisconsin, it makes for some interesting reading, because I think outside Wisconsin, a lot of people assume he's a very, very popular governor who kind of rode in on the wave of this ban of collective bargaining. And for all I know, they might think most people in Wisconsin are really happy and satisfied with him. And that's why he wants to now go to the presidency. We here in Wisconsin realize, I mean, half the state can't stand the guy.
Kevin in Duluth is with us. Hello, Kevin.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me on the show this morning. My thought is, I think the media needs to back off because, you know, the media, and I don't care which side of the aisle you're on, the media is carrying the flag promoting racial inequalities and divisions. And, I mean, this whole show is stirring the pot. And I think if anybody is the real enemy, it's really the media. And, you know, I generally turn the whole stinking thing off. I read some news now and again. But, you know, the media, I don't care if it's the conservative talk show hosts or the liberal bloggers or whoever, you guys are carrying the flag promoting racial inequalities. And I frankly think it sucks.
Well, I was going to ask Kevin to explain why just discussing this issue is carrying the flag, but Eugene, what's your response to that?
Well, if his point is that, you know, the media needs to back off, I don't think there's much chance of that. I mean, the media, that's not what the media does, back off. The media basically tries to sort of report and reflect what people are talking about and thinking. So you know, that's the media's job. I can't, you know, I have no excuses for that.
Lynn on Facebook says, the media, the outrageous demeaning of certain people all contribute to tearing a community apart, not building it up. The game they play is fear for loss of status quo and fighting to retain the present. Sykes and Belling, two Milwaukee radio hosts, should be ashamed that they contribute to such divisiveness and intolerance. Well, just a minute to respond to that, Eugene.
Well, again, I think one of the things I wish people would do more is look at, and it doesn't matter if they're white, black, whatever, but these media talk show folks who do, I think, kind of promote a kind of divisiveness and actually get a kind of joy out of doing it, a pleasure out of pitting people against each other, particularly in racial terms. Because if you're a white talk show host and you're doing an entire show on a racial issue and all you're talking to is your white listeners and your own attitude is basically very antagonistic towards minorities, and they have enough in their backgrounds, we know the ones that I'm talking about, that both of them have been guilty of saying stuff that's been borderline racist or racially insensitive. I just wish they would take more responsibility for what they put out there. Because what the New Republic piece did get right is that Republican candidates do think they can get their message out through right-wing talk show hosts who, in a large part, are only really talking to a certain white demographic.
And we're going to have to leave it there because we're out of time for this segment. The news is next. This week on the campaign trail, we are getting reaction to the piece in the New Republic this week, the unelectable whiteness of Scott Walker. And we welcome your questions and reactions, too. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 7:37 on this Thursday, June 19th. In our last half hour, we heard from Milwaukee columnist Eugene Kane, who thought that the article overstates the influence of right-wing radio and thought that many of conservative talk radio's listeners in the Milwaukee area already share the host's anti-minority views. Now we will talk with another guest writer who calls the New Republic piece a smear campaign and says that it's one more attempt to label conservatives as racists. So, what do you think? Did racial politics have a lot to do with the election of Governor Walker, or at least his 2012 recall win? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is John Hinderaker. He is a Minneapolis lawyer and commentator who writes on the website Powerline. His piece on the New Republic story is titled Smearing Scott Walker. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
So why do you say this is a smear on Governor Walker?
Well, if you look at the current issue of the New Republic, there's this, you know, somewhat sinister looking picture of Scott Walker on the cover, and it says on the cover, Scott Walker is so hot right now, and then down below, too bad he owes his success to a toxic strain of racial politics. Then the article itself is titled The Unelectable Whiteness of Scott Walker, and the subheading is A Journey Through the Poisonous World That Produced a Republican Star. And I think anybody who read this article or even just looked at the cover would conclude that the gist of the piece is that Scott Walker is a racist. And yet if you actually read the article, which takes some doing, it's a long, long piece that goes on and on, but if you read the article, the remarkable fact is that there is nothing in it. There's not one fact, there's not one anecdote, there's not one word or deed on the part of Scott Walker that has anything to do with race, anything at all. And so, you know, it seems to me that this is just one more of many examples of an unfortunate tendency on the part of some who are active in the world of politics to drag race in, whether it belongs or not.
Well, our last guest, Eugene Cain, who is a columnist and his writings appear in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, did say that he thought the title of this article was over the top and that that it gave too much credit to the conservative talk show hosts in the Milwaukee area, but also pointed out that, you know, it's Milwaukee is one of the most polarized cities and one of the most polarized states in a polarized nation. Do you agree with that?
Well, that may be true. You know, when I was reading this article and the section of it that deals with the history of Wisconsin, the demographic history of Wisconsin, I was thinking to myself, you know, that sounds an awful lot like Minnesota, where I live. I think there are a lot of similarities in the demographic history of those two states. And, you know, is there polarization? I mean, do ethnic demographics influence voting patterns? Of course. You know, that's not exactly, you know, hot off the presses news. But the idea that somehow that can be used to single out Scott Walker as opposed to anybody else, any other politician in America, and say, you know, he's a racist, I find really unfounded.
Yeah, you wrote in your story that you think that this is proof Democrats view Governor Walker as a serious threat in 2016. Why do you draw that conclusion?
Well, you know, why are they carrying out this kind of a hit piece on the cover of the New Republic? They wouldn't do that, in my view, if they thought he was an inconsequential figure. I mean, this piece is really a reach, you know. They don't have Scott Walker anywhere in this long article saying anything or doing anything that even relates to race. You know, his reforms have basically been fiscal in nature. They go all the way back to when he was a freshman in college, you know, and they try to come up with embarrassing things. And nevertheless, not a single word of it that has to do with Scott Walker in any way has to do with race. And so, you know, why are they doing this kind of a hit piece? I think it's because they see Walker as a potentially formidable candidate, as a lot of people do.
Well, the article does mention Governor Walker's ties to conservative talk radio in Milwaukee and did give some anecdotes of how the hosts criticize black leaders and make various racial references on the radio talk shows. What do you make of the influence of people like Charlie Sykes and Mark Belling?
Well, I'd never heard of Mark Belling. I'm aware of Charlie Sykes. I don't listen to him regularly. I'm not in that listening area. But again, if somebody wants to write an article about Mark, what's his name, Belling?
Yeah.
Go ahead, but I don't think they'd put it on the cover of the New Republic. You know, the only reason they're doing this is because they're trying to attack Scott Walker, and Scott Walker is not Mark Belling.
Mark Belling does fill in for Rush Limbaugh, by the way.
Yeah, well, there you go. Nevertheless, you know, this is not supposed to be an article about Mark Belling.
Don't think that conservative talk radio, I know you don't live in Southeast Wisconsin, but you think that it has no influence at all in the voting of that region?
Oh, I think conservative talk radio has influence probably all over the country. I listen to a lot of conservative talk radio, and I find it to be, you know, one of the most knowledgeable, sophisticated news sources that are available. Now, whether that's true of your particular local hosts there in Milwaukee, I can't say. But the idea that there's something sinister about talk radio, I guess I find incorrect.
We are talking about the New Republic's piece on Governor Walker, the unelectable whiteness of Scott Walker, which credits racial politics, including conservative talk radio in Milwaukee, for Governor Walker's 2012 recall election win. And we wonder what you make of that article. Do you think it was right on or not at all? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Do you think that Governor Walker has benefited from racial politics? Or does race have nothing to do with this? This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. We are welcoming your thoughts and questions as we are talking about The New Republic's story this week on Governor Walker. That's the subject of much reaction and discussion and debate. The unelectable whiteness of Scott Walker. And we welcome your calls for our guest who says this story was a hit piece, that it was just a smear piece. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our guest is John Hinderaker, a Minneapolis lawyer and commentator who writes on the website Powerline. His piece on the New Republic story is titled Smearing Scott Walker. And our first caller is Mark in Appleton. Hello, Mark.
Hi. Thanks for the call. One of the comments that I had was that it's unfortunate that the reaction that's being talked about is happening. I say that when the truth of a situation is revealed, of course it's going to be met with great opposition. When you really look at some of the winners and losers of what's going on in the Wisconsin, a lot of people would identify that the story is probably pretty close to true.
John?
Well, I'm not sure what the caller means by that. You know, when Governor Walker comes in and he turns a $3.6 billion deficit into a $912 million surplus, it seems to me that benefits everybody. And, you know, you can debate these issues about public sector unions, but he preserved a lot of public sector jobs by allowing insurance costs to be reduced. And a lot of people were being forced to join unions that didn't want to join unions. And we've seen that, you know, once it became no longer compulsory. But, you know, what does any of that have to do with race? People of all races benefit from efficient government. People of all races benefit from occupational freedom. You know, this effort to attach race to all of our disagreements about issues of public policy, I think, is really unfortunate.
Next, we go to David in Boscobel. Hello, David.
Hi. My comment is I live in southwest Wisconsin, and while I haven't read the article, you know, what I've heard you say today is that, you know, the article suggests that conservative talk radio in Milwaukee is what reelected Scott Walker in 2012. And frankly, I don't get the Milwaukee market. I would venture to say three-quarters of the state of Wisconsin doesn't have access to the Milwaukee market to listen to that. And I think it just demeans the voters of Wisconsin. The recall election was not held only in southeast Wisconsin to on whether Scott Walker should have been reelected in the recall. And to suggest that anybody who voted for Scott Walker is racist when they don't listen to that, they have other motivations and reasons, is ridiculous to me. And I'll take my response off the air.
John.
Well, I think the caller makes a good point. I mean, you know, people who are in talk radio are on the air for 2 or 3 hours a day, 5 days a week. They say all kinds of stuff. You know, some of it is intelligent. Some of it may not be. Some of it may be objectionable. The vast majority of it is not. And if you go through and you cherry pick and you pull out one or two quotes and you say, number one, this is emblematic of everything that's on talk radio, that's not true. And then number two, you say talk radio is the driving force behind the electoral outcomes in Wisconsin. As the caller notes, I mean, that clearly is not true. So, you know, I think he makes a good point.
Jamie on Facebook says, Governor Walker, Charlie Sykes, and certainly Mark Belling are flawed human beings. This does not mean that everyone who listens to them shares all of their views and flaws. To say so is a form of bigotry. It would also imply that because I listen to this show and I share its views and flaws, as long as those who attack the more conservative portion of our state also appeared flawed and hateful, we will continue to have close elections. Think about it. Doesn't everyone need to grow up a little? Well, what's your response to that, John?
Well, you know, again, I think she makes a good point, and I guess the most fundamental point I really want to make, Joy, is you know, the reason why we have politics, why we need politics, is to resolve issues about which people disagree, often passionately. You know, if there were no disagreement, we wouldn't need politics. That's the whole point, is to resolve the issues about which people disagree. And you know, if people stick to debating issues on the basis of public policy considerations, what's best for the public good, what are the pros, what are the cons of this policy versus that policy, you know, we'll still have vigorous and sometimes emotionally charged politics because people care about these issues. But when some people in the political world constantly drag in extraneous factors, like in this case, in my view, race, which really has nothing to do with the significant public policy debates that have been going on in the state of Wisconsin, I think that's a real disservice.
At the end of your blog post, you wrote that Democrats and these false charges of racism is indicative of their moral bankruptcy and that it's time to punch back twice as hard. What do you mean by that? Does Governor Walker need to get down and dirty to fight off New Republic-style articles?
Oh, well, I meant conservatives generally. Yeah, I mean, I think that the large majority of the time, this talk about racism relates to things that really has nothing to do with race. And the most obvious example of that is with President Obama, you know, the countless occasions on which Democrats have argued that anytime somebody disagrees with Obama about some issue of public policy, well, it must be based on race, you know, which is just silly. I mean, Republicans disagreed with Bill Clinton, too, you know, and nobody said that was on account of race. And I think that when a political party can't come up with real public policy arguments to support its position and instead continually has to default, you know, to this kind of irrational talk, yeah, I think that is symptomatic of an intellectual bankruptcy.
Well, so what do you mean by it's time to punch back twice as hard?
Well, I mean that conservatives who are the subject of these accusations should respond forcefully and shouldn't be intimidated by them and shouldn't be put off by them, but should respond forcefully and reject the kinds of claims that are being made in this New Republic article as one example out of many.
Jim in Eau Claire is with us. Hello, Jim.
Hi, Joy. You know, I would ask your guests to please listen to me because I listen to Mark Belling every single day. And we have a governor with the politics of divide and conquer. That's what Mark Belling does. He calls names, he makes innuendos, and he divides this state. I'm ashamed to be a Wisconsinite right now because this isn't the way that politics was in this state 5 or 10 years ago. We disagreed, but we didn't have the name calling and the ridicule and everything that Belling just perpetuates.
All right. So do the conservative talk show hosts like Belling are dividing our state, John?
Well, look, I don't listen to Belling's show, and I can't either attack him or defend him. The guy I'm defending is Scott Walker, and I think Scott Walker has been a model of calm, of rationality. I don't see him descending into any kind of demagoguery, such as we see from quite a few of our political leaders. And I guess that's my point. I see no racial basis for Scott Walker's politics whatsoever.
Jim in Kenosha, go ahead.
Hello. Recently, the movie Citizen Coke aired in Racine, and it clearly showed representatives of Americans for Prosperity, which was part of the 8-to-1 spending in favor of Walker in his last election, and they were clearly racist in their comments, and so the videotapes of the people, of these representatives. So my point is that the campaign to elect him goes beyond what Walker himself says, and he needs to repudiate Americans for Prosperity and the racist message and of fear that they did put out around the state in the last election.
John?
Well, look, I'm very familiar with AFP. I think it's a fine organization. I've never seen them do anything that had any racial component at all, you know, let alone a racist component. This guy has seen some kind of a partisan a film, you know, and I have no idea what he's talking about there that somehow connects race to somebody associated with AFP. But I can tell you, I've seen any number of publications and so forth from Americans for Prosperity, and there's no racial content to them whatsoever.
So, Jim, what is the racial content you were referring to?
There were two people who were speaking in different places of the state. First, name of the one was Buddy, who's an entertainer, and I'm sorry, they flashed on the name tag.
Well, it doesn't matter, but what were they saying? These are just people? These were just voters? What?
These were speakers who were paid by Americans for Prosperity to go around the state and talk to citizens, and they were putting out a racist message. They were, and in one case it was more innuendo, but very clear. In the other case, it was very, very blatant, talking about race and about really trying to instill fear and saying, you know, these people are the problem. Types of comments.
So, John, are you denying that there's no the dog whistle politics going on? Oh, we got to be worried about those lazy, shiftless blacks on welfare, that kind of stuff going on?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think there's dog whistle politics that probably exists to some degree on all sides of the political spectrum. But no, I mean, if you're talking about Scott Walker, it's really interesting to me that the New Republic invested a lot of time and money and research. This guy came to Wisconsin. He actually had a beer with Charlie Sykes, which I find kind of entertaining. They went back to Scott Walker's days as a freshman in college, looking for stuff to write about him. They couldn't find a single innuendo, a single word, a single deed. You talk about dog whistle, not from Scott Walker. They couldn't find one. And so, dragging race in and smearing him and saying that his popularity is owed to a toxic strain of racial politics, that's just wrong.
So do you think that Governor Walker can win the GOP nomination for president in 2016?
Oh, I don't know. It's wide open, Joy, in my view. I mean, I think it's too early to tell, who's going to win it. But I think he certainly is on the list of people who have got a chance.
Yeah, well, how big an effect are stories like this in the New Republic? How big of an effect are they going to have on Governor Walker and other conservatives?
Well, I mean, the people who are going to be voting in Republican primaries are not reading the New Republic. I mean, that's a Democratic magazine. So I don't think this story will have any impact on Walker's prospects for getting the Republican nomination. I think sadly, this if this story was a one-off deal, if this was the only time when Democrats drag race in, where it doesn't belong, it wouldn't be a big deal. It would just be kind of a fluke. Unfortunately, that kind of thing is happening a lot. And while I don't think it's going to impact Scott Walker's chance of getting the nomination in 2016, I think it has had a kind of a poisonous impact on our politics generally.
Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Joy. Bye-bye.
John Hinderaker is a Minneapolis lawyer and commentator who writes on the website Powerline. His piece in the New Republic, on the New Republic story, is titled Smearing Scott Walker. And we have posted that on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Thanks to Bill Martins, to Robin Cherry, and to Christy Taylor for producing and directing this program. Thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. And I hope you are with us tomorrow at this time. We are going to be talking about the weather. Summer officially begins tomorrow, and our guest meteorologist will tell us what to expect, and including a recap of this week's severe weather. That's tomorrow at this time. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.